Today on the Queso, a very special guest, Mariluz Gonzalez of Vesper Public Relations. She's the founder and owner of this company that many people in media have had the pleasure to work with, including myself. It is such a pleasure to sit down, chat with her, just talk about what's been going on this year, and just some exciting things that are awaiting us for next year with the work that she's doing with many artists and organizations that she's representing, and just how she's been dealing with the pandemic. Actually, Vesper has been doing quite well this year, being very innovative in their approach, in their work, and that's what makes this really exciting to sit down and talk to Mariluz and just pick her brain about what she's been doing. For more information on Vesper Public Relations, go to vesperpublicrelations.com. As you will see, Mariluz is a well-rounded person, and she has so much knowledge and so much to contribute, and I'm really happy to have her here on the Queso today. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Amelia.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, it's good to see you.
Good to see you.
I feel like I've already known you for years.
You know what? Yes, because you're in Chicago, huh?
Yes.
And you, y tú estabas en donde antes?
Antes estaba en Detroit.
Ajá, pero que no estabas en un periódico?
En Detroit era El Central, and uh-huh. Then here in Chicago was Teleguía.
There we go, from Teleguía. Uh-huh.
And then Extra News. Mm.
I think we used to talk a lot back in the day, ¿verdad?
I think so too. Mm. And then Raymond started to be more like the contact person.
Well, Raymond found you again, you know?
Found me again, yeah. Uh-huh. And times are changing. So here we are on this platform now.
Oh my God. And you live in Chicago right now?
In Chicago. Mm-hmm. I'm originally from Texas.
Yeah.
I did live in Delano for a while.
Oh.
One of my daughters was born there.
Do you miss California?
Yeah. And a lot of, I have a lot of family in Bakersfield, Tulare.
Did you ever come out over here?
It's been a while, but okay, I need to get back up
there. When you come out, please let us know.
Of course. Yes. Yes.
So we can go eat at El Sushi Loco. Well, he's our client. Uh-huh. And it's sushi estilo Sinaloa.
Oh, wow.
And it's so delicious.
What's like the main difference?
The sauces, he's got these secret sauces, and he makes these blends, you know, that are a little nutty, but they're really good, you know?
It sounds like the movie. Do you remember Cuchiloco?
Oh, I know.
I don't know if what movie that was. La Ley de Herodes or one of those.
Oh, yeah. Era un personaje, ¿no?
It's really funny. But I am so glad that you're here visiting me right now.
Thank you.
Or could I say I'm visiting you?
We're both, you know?
This is great, though. This is great. I know the pandemic has changed a lot of things, but some things for the better, I see.
I know. You know what? I'm talking to a lot more people from different parts of the country mm-hmm. that I hadn't talked before because I would be concentrating a lot on local mm-hmm. local media or maybe you know certain things or you know I'm driving a lot but now that I'm not driving a lot I have more time so I'm talking to more people and it's nice I just don't know when they go back to normal if I'm gonna be ready for it again
right yeah we're getting really comfortable but at the same time like artists mm-hmm. are able to communicate more with fans on a one-on-one basis in this yeah. platform.
Mm-hmm.
How are you and how are the artists really liking that? Are there any pros and cons to
you
that?
You know what? The artists, a lot of them miss the fan connection. You know, in interviews that we do, you know, they're always constantly, they're constantly saying, we miss the fans. We miss hugging the audience, receiving that love from the audience, you know, and obviously, you know, it hurts their pockets too, mm-hmm. because, you know, although they're artists and, you know, they're well off, but it's a business.
Yes.
At the end of the day, it's a business for them too. And they're not, you know, no están ingresando. So they're at a stop still and they have, they have crews, they mm-hmm. have people, you know? So, yeah. So that's tough. It's tough. Yeah. That part is tough for them too.
And how does it work nowadays with music? Like everything's streaming. Do people pay for that anymore? Do people pay for that?
You know what they are? They are, especially now more than ever.
Okay.
More than ever, you know, certain artists are able to accommodate and to integrate with sponsors because that's the way they can earn, you know, mm-hmm. a decent, you know, it's not going to take the place of a tour, mm-hmm. but they can keep that musical connection.
Yeah.
And people can pay and watch them perform. And they usually record these concerts at, you know, at a very, at a place where it's socially distanced and it's safe for the artist mm-hmm. to do it. And then, you know, they stream it and then they provide you with special additions, you know, instead of just the concert, you know, maybe a saludo, maybe this, maybe a, you know, so it just really depends on the artist and their management and the company who's sponsoring that can work out a deal mm-hmm. where they give the audience an extra, you know, an extra element in addition to the concert.
It sounds very personal. Like I said, it's like
personal. I've watched a few and they're good. You know, they're obviously intimate because you're watching it at home.
Yes. But
I think, you know, some of them are adapting to that. Obviously, not all of them. You know, a lot of these artists are touring artists mm-hmm. that tour cities and countries. So imagine.
Right. Now, you right now you're getting different types of clients. Like you got the film festival mm-hmm. that you know, it was really a success this year.
Yes, it was. You know that was a very interesting example of how we adapted or how our founder adapted our client. You know, mm-hmm. we started off with the virtual offering. And that worked well because he also had extra elements like interviews with the directors, the actors.
Right.
Uh-huh. And then he partnered up with Pantalla mm-hmm. to make it bigger. So all of a sudden, our festival that was here in LA became national.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so now as a result, we were talking and saying, you know what, next year, I mean, if we are allowed to have in-person, we're going to have an in-person version and then we're going to have a pantalla version yes. to allow the entire country.
Right. And, you know, when I was doing my own interview and promoting of that event, uh-huh. I had a lot of people from Mexico who were really liking it. So I thought, oh, that's so great. You know, people, mm-hmm. people in Mexico.
It opened it up to everybody. So that was the beauty of it, you know, that we were able to open it up instead of just having an LA event. We had a national and an international event, you know. So for that one, I think it worked. And next year, I think they'll, if, like I said, they'll add that component.
That'd be nice. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you and that I was excited to talk to you was because you're not considered the jefa, right? Like the jefa in PR, like despite all these barriers and obstacles, you're like moving right along. You just went in and adapted.
Yes. We adapted. We were lucky that our clients too adapted quickly.
Yeah.
And they went with it. And then we learned because we were learning too, mm-hmm. all of us, because there's no roadmap. There wasn't a roadmap for none of us.
True.
Uh-huh. And there's still not a roadmap. So, but we sort of created our own roadmap to it and we found ways to adapt. And just like in anything, you know, in our work, in our personal lives, I think the most important element that one can have is learning to adapt under any circumstance.
Now, I know you probably learned a lot when you were with Univision and then you went out on your own and you learned a lot mm-hmm. along the way. What is it about an artist that comes to you mm-hmm. and they say, I really want you to represent me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. échame la mano, blah, blah, blah. You probably heard it all, right? How do you decide? How do you decide if a project is worth it or is worth your time,
you know,
or
you
do something?
It's a story. It's got to have a story. And we have to like it. You know, my team has to like it. They have to like it. Because if they don't like it, they can't sell it. And if I can like it, because now everything lies in me, because it's my name that is out there. I want to work projects that really, that I really believe in. Maybe it's music that I don't listen to, but that audiences are listening to, that are artists con trayectoria, that artists that have a story, or that artists that are just really cool. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to do it because this guy's cool. You know?
And sometimes it's not just a musical artist. Like you have filmmakers. And
Yes. And like Carlos, you know, Carlos is a wonderful person. And when he came to me, he had just won at Cannes, the film festival in Cannes in France. And I was like, oh, wow, you know? And then I've seen him grow and grow, and I'm like, oh my God, and we're growing together. Because, you know, each time he's got an exciting project, and I'm like, oh my God, what do you have now? And well, I have this, and I'm like, oh wow, you know? Yeah. So his story keeps on building up.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be so different back, you know, in the, I guess you could say the 80s and 90s. Where the music business was so different.
Oh my God. Yes.
Even if you compared the English to the Spanish sector, it was so different. Like if you got a contract in English with an English, you know, English
label
or label, they would launch you and you had a budget. And then it turned out like things weren't going that well. So now they kind of launch you and see how well you did. And then they'll throw in a little bit of money.
Yeah, it's very different. When I used to work at Fonovisa Records, we had budgets to do parties, record release parties. So I had, you know, X amount of dollars to do, you know, a nice chunk of change to do parties for Los Tigres del Norte, for Bronco, for Los Temerarios, for Rogelio Martinez, for those people, because they were releasing a new record. And we would invite the media, or we would invite them to Vegas, you know, because they were having the record release party in Vegas. So we would fly people, you know? So we had, you know, we had a nice chunk of money, but that is all gone. But the difference was back in that time, you know, it was justified. Why? Because Sea Conjunto Primavera, they would come out with a record, and they would release, and they would print 300,000 units, and they would sell them like this. Temerarios, 500,000, así salían.
Wow.
Ya vendidos.
Yeah.
So how would, you know, you justified, you know, a couple of dollars for a big party. Yeah, why not? Because they were selling 300,000.
Exactly.
Why not?
It was a different world. It was a different world. I remember going to La Junta de Promotores in Vegas.
Oh, Promotores Unidos, yes, in Vegas, yes.
Because once upon a time here in Chicago, I managed a banda, a techno banda.
Which banda?
They were called M16.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So
okay.
It was a techno banda, so I would go and do all that. It's a lot of work, I got to say. It's a lot of work, and now I can't even imagine you, who has to work with so many different artists, to keep it all straight. What's your secret? Like, you also have a life outside of this, right?
Not really. I'm not married. I am single. So I don't have, you know what? I'm not, you know, I've dedicated, you know, pretty much my life to my work. I enjoy it. I'm very, very organized. Because I learned that in school, because I went to school, I went to college. And if anything, I learned to be organized. And so that's how I kind of keep it together.
That's good. That's really good.
But, you know, so sometimes things fall in the cracks because we're human, and you know, but you pick it up and you keep on going.
I think it's a passion that you put into it. And like you said, your name is out there.
Yeah.
Speaking of the name, Vesper Communications, where does that come from?
That is actually the first Bond woman from the James Bond movie.
Wow.
Hollywood, you know?
I live in LA. I would have never connected that, but now it makes total sense.
I live in LA, and you know, James Bond, and why not, you know?
So were you born and raised in LA?
I was born in Mexico, Jalisco, okay. But I was brought here when I was 3 years old. So I was brought to the San Fernando Valley. Mm-hmm. I'm from Pacoima. I live in Pacoima. It's my, you know, Richie Valens town, Danny Trejo town, you know, and I love my community. I love my community. Every time I have an opportunity to work with my community, which I do often, it's a joy. It's a joy because I live here and it's my people.
Yeah. You've probably read the book. It's been a while. How to Be a Latina Role Model.
No.
You remember that?
No.
Yeah, your story kind of reminds me of that book. You're going to have to look it up.
I'll look it up.
But that is really cool because you were planted there and you boomed and you have a lot of interest in helping your community as well.
Yes.
Like you're doing your work, but you're doing your work with the PR. You also have a radio show.
Yes. I'm on KPFK on Travel Tips for Aslan, 90.7 FM. Right now this year, because of the pandemic, I'm on hiatus. Mm-hmm. Because my producer does the show from his house, and he lives in downtown LA.
Okay.
Because we're not going to the station.
Okay.
And so I'm on hiatus this year, and you know I kind of needed a break after 9 years.
Wow, and that went by pretty fast, right?
Yeah, but he's been on the show. He celebrated this year his 25th. Year with a show, and he invited a lot of us. We did a Zoom celebration, you know, with all the hosts that he's had during that time. And yes, I've been probably one of the longest ones, you know, being there for 9 years.
How did you get involved with it in the first place?
He invited me one day, hey, come, and I'm like, yeah, sure, you know. And then he's like, you want to come again? I'm like, yeah, why not, you know. And then I stayed, you know?
That's great. You know, you push artists, like you promote artists and events and people, but there's a lot to you. Mm-hmm. So who promotes you?
Raymond. When I let him, when I'm like, no, not busy right now. Not right now, Raymond, you know?
Yeah. So do you think you'll ever like maybe hand the reins a little while to someone so that you can pursue your interest, maybe in radio or something else that you're interested in?
You know what? I don't know. I like a lot of things, you know, but then I stop liking them, and then, you know,
that's okay.
You can then I change a lot, which is good because, you know, como humanos estamos evolucionando. We're
exactly,
you know, how we're evolving. And so I'm still evolving. I like a lot of things and I want to do a lot of things, but I'm also very realistic in a lot of things. You know, I'm not young. I'm not a 20-something year old. And I'm very realistic and very planted in the now and the reality of things. So, you know, it's not that it's going to keep me from doing certain things, you know, but it does, you know, put, you know, kind of a level head on me and say, okay, well, no, Mariluz, that's you dreaming.
Have a level head all the time because I think the non-level-headed Mariluz is really fun. I could tell.
I had extreme fun when I was in college at UCLA. Extremely.
I can imagine.
And I was also a manager before the label. I used to manage a rock band.
Really?
Yeah, I used to manage a rock band called Quince Letras. We went on tour to Guadalajara, Mexico, have a lot of great friends in Mexico City from those years. Mm-hmm. A lot of great memories, a lot of friendships. And, you know, so I did all kinds of great things. I used to have a record label, a punk label, which I still kind of have, you know.
Yes, but you have artists on there?
Yes, yes. Okay. We put out like 10 albums.
And what's the label called?
It was called Sour Pop Records.
Okay.
We had bands like Baisami, Hammer Squeal, Cosmopolitan, Lipstick Terror, all punk rock bands from Mexico, from Mexico City.
Nice.
And Tijuana. And so for a while I was working and I was doing that project. Putting out punk records, you know, with my friend, you know, him in Mexico and me here. And so, you know, so I did a lot of that.
Yeah. So hopefully next year we're back to having Ruido Fest here in Chicago.
Oh, I know. It's such a great event. I want to go next year.
Yeah, you can send some of those bands over.
You know what? I don't work with that label. You know, I stopped working the label a long time ago. The bands still continue on their own.
Okay.
But you just never know if maybe next year I find a band and I'm like, oh, I want to go back to that, you know?
Yeah, I can see why you say that you like a lot of things, but I'm really glad that you've had the experience to touch and, you know, and move so many different things in your life.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't get that opportunity or don't give themselves that opportunity to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I was a crazy 20-something-year-old on tour, you know, with bands and working in the industry. I went to college. I graduated at UCLA. I did the college life, you know.
And you studied public relations at UCLA?
I studied Latin American studies.
Okay.
Because I didn't think, I thought that was great for me. And I thought I was going to get into international relations. But then all of a sudden, I started booking shows at UCLA. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe I can do this.
Esto es lo mío, es fácil, right? Like the networking is the fun part.
And then I started interning, you know, and then I started interning at Capitol Records, and then they hired me as soon as I graduated. So I just fell into things, you know?
That is great. I mean, your natural tendencies led you there, obviously your talents.
Yeah, I have a tendency of falling into things without really, you know?
I have a feeling you have a hard time saying no to things.
You know what? I've learned to say no as an adult now. You know, I had to buy a book. You know,
I had to buy a book. I feel you. I mm-hmm. feel you because the same with me. Now I'm able to do this project for me the way that I want to do it.
Yes.
Because it takes determination to, and really a lot of, strength to say no to a friend who's trying to do something, but if you don't pursue your own projects,
mm-hmm.
time is just going to float away and you never did it. So
yeah, and you know, you got to learn to say no for just a reason that maybe they don't understand,
mm-hmm.
but it's valid. It's for you, you know, it's for you, for your own sanity, for your own, you know, well-being.
Just don't say no to Raymond when he tries to promote you, okay?
I know. I'm not going to say no to
him. So what have you learned about yourself in this mini tour with Mighty Luz these days?
Oh, my God. I've learned that I knew I was good at adapting because all my life I've learned that. But I've learned to open myself up to different projects. Like this year was the first year that we worked reggaeton.
Oh.
We're working reggaeton now. And I was always afraid of working reggaeton. Not afraid, but, you know, just I was like, no, I work salsa, I work regional Mexican, I work rock,
mm-hmm.
I work world music. But I'm like, no, not reggaeton. I'm not into it, you know? But then I was like, wait a minute, why not, you know?
Yeah.
Why not? And, you know, so now I'm working this really cool project. His name is Chucky 73. He's 22.
Wow.
He's huge. He's got a good story. Mm-hmm. He's getting reviewed on Rolling Stone, The New Yorker. So I'm like, well, why not, you
know? Nice, yeah.
He's Dominicano. He's a young kid doing great things. So I'm like, why shouldn't I not, you know?
It sounds like you have a lot of exciting things coming up for your company, right?
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, mantenerse, always looking for the next big story, mm-hmm. the next big project. This year we also worked with a developer.
Yeah, you know? I saw that because of COVID, yeah. they needed to get information out.
Yeah, so all of a sudden we work with a developer who owns like 10 malls. They own like 3 malls here where I live, you know,
yes.
which I didn't know. I'm like, oh, really? You own that mall? You know, I always go there. you know, because they were doing this electrostatic cleaning, and it was funny because I just saw that. That's what they're using at the White House to disinfect. And I was like, oh, my client was on the ball with that in March, you know?
Be careful. They might take your press releases.
I know. So we, you know, I opened up to different possibilities that came to us, mm-hmm. and we said yes, and we gave it our best shot, and we succeeded. So we're very happy. We're also very fortunate that we have work and appreciative that we have the work and the support, you know, with Raymond who helps me, and also David, another one of my colleagues, so that all of us make a nice team that we can help each other and also make each of us grow, because mm-hmm. you know, this year was a growth.
Yes, for definitely. Us,
you know, emotionally, personally, and career wise.
Ahora, mi pregunta es como mm-hmm. para ti. Right now that you're in the spotlight as a person, as uh-huh. Mary Luz, not just because of the firm, mm-hmm. how does that feel like to you? Like, what have you learned about yourself now that everyone's focusing on your story?
What have I learned about myself? Oh!
Do you like being interviewed?
Not really. You know what? I have to work on that. I have to accept it, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm very camera shy. I'm a behind the scenes person. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a very behind the scenes person. I do like to communicate, like with radio. Mm-hmm. I enjoy that. You know, I like interviewing people. I like talking to people. But I guess when it comes to me, you know, and I think that's part of us women, that we have to learn that. You know, that we have to learn to promote ourselves. And I think that's something in progress for me personally. Then maybe this year was reflected a little more.
Yes. I'm glad that we're getting to zoom in on you, no pun intended.
Yeah.
Really talk about you as a person, because I can tell my colleagues here in Chicago or in other places, because I know a lot of people here in Chicago work with you, mm-hmm. you're promoting something. And really, so they get to know the heart of the project, which is you,
yes.
and where it's coming from, and, you know, para que también todavía echarle más ganas to what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We always do, but it's also so nice to put a face or a voice to the name and to know your passion for your projects, so that we can continue to support you and to really, you know, be behind you on what you're
doing. Thank you. Yes. And I love Chicago. Chicago's so dear to me. I have, you know, good friends in the media like yourself and many others who live there that we talk. And some of them are not in the media because of obvious reasons. You know, everything's now digital and things change and polls, but we're still friends.
You probably talk to Latino Scoop and to
yes, and Gozamos and Bocalo and Gisela and John también de que trabaja con Gozamos y también el niño Hugo Huguito también.
Oh, you know, yeah.
But I see him doing his crazy things. I'm like, ¿y dónde estás? What are you doing?
Yeah, movimiento, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're all here. You know, it's really not that big, you know, the Latino media community. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately has shrunk in the last few years as far as print media goes.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's trying to, you know, keep it going forward by keeping our voices heard and the stories, you know, like you, I share the same sentiment mm-hmm. where it's the story, lo que cuenta, the story behind the person.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, and I love doing stories on regular people. Like, you know, I love getting stories on artists and where I get to interview an artist. But sometimes we need inspiration from a person. Like,
I think like that's so important, you know. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, I have also, like I said, a soft spot when I work, like, the community events here. Mm-hmm. Because it has a quick outcome, mm-hmm. you know, to my community, you know. And, you know, I work muralists, you know, in my community who are young people who are doing amazing things on the corner of my house because they have murals that are painted, you know. So there's a lot of great people, you know, who are not, you know, singers or actors or filmmakers that are doing great things. And everybody can aspire to be like them or like an artist if they have the talent.
I love that your mission and purpose is to highlight these people and, you know, that are putting these efforts forward in the artistic world because they need so much support, especially right now.
Oh yeah, absolutely, you know, and not just these people, everybody, I think right now, you know, everybody, toda la gente, toda la comunidad needs, our people need just a little extra hope because this year has been really challenging for them, you know, restaurant workers,
right,
farm workers, you know.
Yes, and my parents worked the grape fields, you know, they were in Visalia, they were in Delano, they worked all those fields, and I can totally relate. I lived in Delano and just had to, you know, struggle to survive back in those days, and you know, we made it through, thank God, but I think about all those new families that are coming through and getting through, you know, that period of their life when they're starting out, and if the economy's hard and what's going on with the government is hard, and you know, what if anything has your firm put out as far as communication, as far as like Black Lives Matter, or
you know what, we work like I said, I work a lot with the city of Los Angeles with Monica Rodriguez, councilwoman Monica Rodriguez, and you know, she calls on us for like Dia de los Muertos, El Grito, and then this year El Grito was a telethon, and they raised money for undocumented workers here in Los Angeles through an organization called Cielo. So, you know, that was something great because they turned an event that is usually just a big party into something that was, you know, para recaudar un poco de dinero because it was somewhat needed for people.
That was genius, by the way. That was genius because, people tuned in, but then there was a cause at the end of the day.
Yeah, so it was, you know, it was beautiful too. And then we did El Día de los Muertos, which we gave tribute to all those that passed in COVID, you know, because of the pandemic. So we put a lot of pictures on Pacoima City Hall, which is across the street from my house. and you know, and people sent their loved ones photo and they showcased it on the walls. And we had a lot of great, you know, media coverage that came to support us. So that was also beautiful. And then I work these guys, they're regional Mexican artists, they're called Alan y Roberto, and they started doing songs on, they write corridos, but then all of a sudden this pandemic was like, okay, they did the corrido coronavirus, they did corrido del trailero, you know, to all those truck drivers who are out there, you know?
Right.
They did el corrido del pescador, which just got them, you know, they went to shoot the video in Santa Maria. At the fields with the workers.
See, and I would love the opportunity to talk to them. I think they would have.
Whenever you want. Yeah.
Insights. Yeah.
They went and then they shared. They went to support. I don't remember his name, but he did this walk from Los Angeles to Northern Cal to raise money for the farm workers.
I saw that. Yeah, I don't remember his name, but...
Yeah, but he got, like, national attention.
Yeah.
Entonces, when he started the walk here in L.A., he invited them to come and sing, you know, with them and to the press conference of the launch. So they came with them. And then all of a sudden, ahí andaban ellos in the fields, you know, with the people, you know, acompañando a las radios, giving them food, them singing the song. So their song kind of became an anthem for, you know, for all the farm workers, you know?
This year, especially, being this the way that it's been. Yeah. And I can tell that these are the projects that really bring a light to your face when you think about it. And it, that brings me so much joy to know that about you. It's just, I'm so, you know, lucky to know you.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad we put a face to each other now.
Finally, yes, finally, finally. Uh-huh. But thank you so much for your time. Thank you for being you.
Thank you.
And keep up the great work. And I hope to meet you soon. And
yes.
Either go there or you come here, but...
Exactly. If you come out here, let us know so we can go have some sushi loco.
I definitely want it now.
I know. Ya te dejé con
Google it.
I know. Too bad. You know, nomás es aquí, you know.
I know. That's why I have to go now.
Have to go, you know.
And I will definitely go. I think after we're released from our plexus,
I know. Vamos a querer viajar, you know.
And somebody told me, like, oh, people are not going to want to come out. I'm like, I think there's going to be a rush to do it.
I think there is.
Yeah.
I think there is. I mean, every year I go to Mexico for vacations with the family. And this year we didn't, and I missed it.
It's been very difficult, but at the same time we're blessed. We're, like you said, we're working,
we're alive,
yeah. And we're able to talk to each other, which otherwise we might not be doing this right now.
Exactly. No, you know.
So con eso me despido y
gracias.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll be talking soon. I know we will.
Nos vemos. Bye bye.
Okay, take care.